What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how you digging that new intro track? That's right, that's Mamba Mentality. That's featured on my new album that drops tomorrow, April 6th. The album's called Suck My Dick. You can check that out on all digital retailers. But that was also produced by my label mate, Lex Aziz. So I forgot to mention that when I debuted this during the last episode. But yeah, you can check that out on my latest album if you're digging it. And check out any of my other music as well if you'd like. All right, now let's get into the Final Four. That is tomorrow. We have two big games on tap, beginning with number 11 NC State going up against number 1 ranked Purdue. Now, you know, I picked Purdue to be the champion, so of course I'm going to ride with Purdue in this one. But NC State's been the Cinderella this entire tournament. They've been the huge surprise, obviously, an 11 seed getting this far. Nobody expected that. But they've really played great basketball up to this point. So I wouldn't be shocked if they give Purdue their all and make it a decent game. But I am going to go with Purdue just because, that's who I picked in the beginning. But also, I just think they're the better team. They look like they're ready to make a nice little run here at the championship. And NC State, I think, is going to fall short on Saturday against Purdue. Then the second game we have is number 4 ranked Alabama against number 1 UConn. And UConn's been obviously the best team in college basketball all season. From start to finish, they have blown everybody out of the water in this tournament. But Alabama is not a chump. They've really took it to everybody they faced. They've rolled over a few of their opponents as well. So I don't expect this to be as easy as it's been for UConn. But, you know, UConn's been playing great basketball. So I've got UConn winning this as well. So my championship right now, I have Purdue versus UConn. And, of course, I'm going with Purdue because that's who I picked in the beginning of it all. But we'll see what happens on Saturday and see where we're at on Monday's show for the national champion. Then moving on to NBA, that in the week that was, we had some big performances this week. We did get somebody back from injury as well. Beginning on Monday night, the Phoenix Suns dominated the New Orleans Pelicans 124-111. Devin Booker went off. He had 52 points and 9 assists and really just straight up dominated the game. Kevin Durant also had a great game as well, but it wasn't close. Phoenix had the lead basically from start to finish in this one, and the Pelicans really did not look good at all in that one. Then on Tuesday, it was a battle between Jokic and Wemby. Denver did get the win 110-105, but Jokic and Wemby were just going back at it, back and forth. You know, Wemby even had a nice big block on Jokic. But Jokic ended up with 42 points, 16 rebounds, and 6 assists. Victor Wembanyama ended up with 23 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists, and 9 blocks. So Wemby almost had a quadruple-double there. But big battle between the two big guys, and that should be a big battle that we're going to see here for years to come. Then we had the Philadelphia 76ers get a huge win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. As a matter of fact, the Oklahoma City Thunder are starting to slump this week. I mentioned that they're the only team that really hasn't slumped, and here they are headed into the playoffs, and they have a couple of losses on tap beginning this week against Philadelphia 76ers, who did get Joel Embiid back, and he's been strong in the last couple of games here. Philadelphia got the win 109-105. Embiid had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists, so he came right back into typical Joel Embiid form. And perfect timing because playoffs are right around the corner, and they are definitely going to need him. Then on Wednesday, I just was talking about Oklahoma City and their slump. Well, they got smashed by the Boston Celtics, 135-100. And the Celtics were able to clinch the number 1 overall seed. So the championship will go through Boston this year, whether it's all the way through the championship. If they make it to the finals, it is going through Boston. They are the home team. Porzingis had a huge game. He had 27 points and 12 rebounds. And Boston's just getting ready to make a championship run. And then last night, Philadelphia had another big game. They got a big win over the Miami Heat, 109-105. Tyrese Maxey had a huge game, 37 points, 11 assists, and 9 rebounds. And then Joel Embiid, still back in form, had 29 points. Two big wins when the 76ers get Embiid back. Like I said, they're definitely going to need that. And since we're talking about the playoffs, let's go ahead and talk about the playoff picture here. because this is the last week of basketball, the last week of the regular season, and then next week we will be talking playoffs and what we think is going to be happening here. So let's see where we're at in the Western Conference right now. The number one overall seed, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Number two overall seed, the Denver Nuggets. Number three seed, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Number four, the Los Angeles Clippers. Number five, the Dallas Mavericks. And number six, the Phoenix Suns. And then in the play-in side of things, we have number seven, the New Orleans Pelicans. Number eight, the Sacramento Kings. Number nine, the Los Angeles Lakers. And number 10, the Golden State Warriors. Then over in the Eastern Conference, number one, the Boston Celtics. Number two, the Milwaukee Bucks. Number three, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Number four, the Orlando Magic. Number five, the New York Knicks. Number six, the Indiana Pacers. And then turning to the play-in side of things, number seven, the Miami Heat. Number eight, the Philadelphia 76ers. Number nine, the Chicago Bulls. And then number 10, the Atlanta Hawks. So I don't expect a lot to change on the playoff side of things. The play-in, maybe a little bit of movement here and there, but I think we're pretty much set here. But like I said, this is the final week of the regular season, and we will be talking playoffs on next Friday's show. So get ready for it, because I'm ready for it, especially because the Lakers are actually playing really well right now. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're able to do in the postseason. Moving on to baseball, we had us our first full official week of baseball, and we had us already a no-hitter on the season, which is crazy because it's the first week of baseball. But on Monday nights, the Houston Astros got a big win, 10-0 over the Toronto Blue Jays, and their starting pitcher, who's only in because Justin Verlander's right now on the injured list, he has only started 8 games, and his name is Ronel Blanco. He threw a no-hitter against the Toronto Blue Jays. So that's a great way to start your career, but also you're just filling in for Verlander. So that just actually shows the depth that the Houston Astros have at the starting pitching position. But their real issue so far has been the bullpen. So we'll see if that becomes a theme for them throughout the season, but it is only the beginning of the season. Then on Tuesday, Bryce Harper had a huge game for the Philadelphia Phillies in their win over the Cincinnati Reds, 9-4. Bryce Harper had 3 home runs, and he was coming into this game batting 0-for-11 on the season, but he busted it open, had 3 home runs, one of them being a grand slam, ended up with 6 RBI on the night. Then on Wednesday, the Houston Astros had yet another great game. They got a big win over the Toronto Blue Jays, 8-0 this time. Yordan Alvarez is who we're going to be talking about. He had 2 home runs in the game. He also busted out of a slump, not an 0-for-11 slump, but I can't remember what it was, but he was also slumping a bit. But he had 2 home runs with 3 RBI. And then last night, the Pittsburgh Pirates, now they did do this last year. They started off the season real hot and then just went away. But they are 6-1 right now on the season. They got a big win over the Nationals yesterday, 7-4. Ryan Reynolds went 2-for-3 with an RBI and a run. But Pittsburgh Pirates are 6-1 to begin the season. Don't know if that's going to matter for anything, but, you know, we'll see what happens. They did that last year, though, so I'm not going to get my hopes up for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then we did have a little bit of NFL news this week. Stephon Diggs, the Buffalo Bills wide receiver, was traded to the Houston Texans. So if you don't think the Texans are all in on this season, they most certainly are. They've been making a shit ton of moves this offseason, and they're in a bad division too. So don't be shocked if the Houston Texans make a nice run this season. But the only people surprised by this trade are Buffalo Bills fans. Apparently, they didn't think this was happening, and I'm just some kind of like, really? Because you could tell Stephon Diggs has not been happy in Buffalo for whatever reason since last year. So in my opinion, I expected him to be traded this offseason. I wasn't shocked at all, and I think it's a good move definitely for the Texans. Don't know if it's a good move for the Bills, because they also lost Gabe Davis in the offseason as well. So who knows what they're going to do with the wide receiver position, but Texans are locked and loaded headed into the 2024 season. Speaking of the NFL, let's move on to my top 10 list for this week, the top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era here. And now it's really difficult for me. I was really going back and forth between so many players in this one because it was tough. Now, the top three, not tough at all, but beyond that, it was really tough. Especially because I have one player on here who's very polarizing to some, but for me personally, I am a huge fan of his, and you will hear me singing his praises once we get to him. But let's get started with number 10 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, beginning with Alan Faneca, the offensive guard of the Pittsburgh Steelers. From 1998 to 2007, he played for the Jets from 2008 to 2009, and then ended his career in 2010 with the Arizona Cardinals. Really, when you're talking about offensive linemen, this was one of the most consistent offensive linemen of the 2000s era. He barely missed any games. He was such a workhorse, and really ask any quarterback or any running back during his time how much they loved Alan Faneca. He played in 206 games, started 201. So that right there just goes to show you the level of consistency he played out through his entire career. He won Super Bowl 40 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a six-time first team All-Pro, 2001, 2002, and then 2004 through 2007. And like I said, just the level of consistency at the position that he played at, really not a lot of guys did it better than Alan Faneca did, especially in this era of football. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Julius Peppers, defensive end of the Carolina Panthers from 2002 to 2009, then with the Chicago Bears from 2010 to 2013, then with the Packers from 2014 to 2016, and then ended his career with the Panthers 2017 to 2018. He was a beast. This was the definition of a motherfucking beast, defensive end. I mean, this guy was all over the field from day one. His career numbers are 159.5 career sacks, 82 passes deflected, 11 interceptions, 52 forced fumbles, and 6 touchdowns. He was Rookie of the Year in 2002, three-time first-team All-Pro in 2004, 2006, and 2010, and really just was one of the most dominating figures. Every team he played for, he was dominating. He really didn't have a slump. He did suffer some debilitating injuries, of course, as a lot of players do, but I mean, really just the level of consistency that Peppers played out throughout his career, he was just a beast defensive end, and just got, he will be getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this summer as well, so well-deserved. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, I have Brian Urlacher, linebacker of the Chicago Bears, played his entire career with the Chicago Bears from 2000 to 2012. Really one of the most feared, consistent linebackers you have seen in this era. He was so damn good. Career numbers, 41.5 sacks, 22 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, and 78 passes deflected. He was Defensive Player of the Year in 2005, Rookie of the Year in 2000, four-time first-team All-Pro 2001, 2002, 2005, and 2006. And just, I mean, when you talk about the Chicago Bears, there is one position they have always had on lockdown, and that is the linebacker position. You go from Dick Butkus to Mike Singletary to Brian Urlacher. They don't really have anybody right now, but don't be surprised when they get somebody. But Brian Urlacher was just that dude. And it's funny, too, because there's a lot of defensive guys in my top 10. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about another one here, but these defenders in the 2000s era were just fucking awesome. And Brian Urlacher was one of those dudes. And I can't believe I had to put him down at 8, but I did, just because there's a couple other dudes above him that I think just made a little bit more impact. Plus they got Super Bowls. And so let's move on to number 7, because he is a linebacker as well. Number 7 on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Derrick Brooks, linebacker of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, played his entire career with Tampa from 1995 to 2008. His career numbers, 1,715 tackles, 13.5 sacks. So that's not a lot, but I mean, Derrick Brooks' impact on the field was not in really just like sacks and interceptions and all that, even though he did, you know, he had 25 interceptions, 24 forced fumbles, and 7 touchdowns, but it was just, he was everywhere on the field. He was the leader of this defense, and if you don't remember this Tampa Bay defense, this was one of the most insane, hard-hitting, just stacked. Warren Sapp, Derrick Brooks, Rondé Barber, John Lynch. Oh, I could just go on about this defense. I loved this Tampa Bay defense. As a matter of fact, I'm actually about to watch that Super Bowl between the Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just watched Tom Brady's first Super Bowl last night, which is just funny to watch because, you know, I've watched his entire career, and now I'm going back and seeing him and Peyton in their early days. But anyways, we'll actually get to them later on in this list, as a matter of fact. But Derrick Brooks, God, he was such an amazing player. And just to watch him, the way he led this defense, he was the leader of this defense, even though you wouldn't say he was the most talented on the defense, but he was that dude. He won Super Bowl 37 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Defensive Player of the Year in 2002. Also five-time first-team All-Pro, 99, 2000, 2002, 2004, and 2005. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, this is the polarizing character I'm talking about. I put him here. I knew he wasn't going to be in the top because, honestly, like I said, the top three, I feel like you had, honestly, the top four are the top four. And then six and five, I really, really struggled with. I really only put number five above number six simply because he owns a couple of NFL records that still stand to this day. But number six is Terrell Owens. I loved Terrell Owens. Played wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers from 96 to 2003, Philadelphia Eagles from 2004 to 2005, my Dallas Cowboys from 2006 to 2008, Buffalo Bills from 2009, and Cincinnati Bengals in 2010. I loved T.O. Fucking loved T.O. Not even when, just as a Cowboy. I actually loved him when he was an Eagle. I just couldn't root for him because he played for the Eagles. But I love me some T.O. I always loved T.O. I didn't care how much of a brash asshole he was, but his personality aside, on the field, oh my God, he was so good. One of the greatest route runners. Just watch the dude run a route. It is just beautiful. Just to kind of see the separation he gets just off of his movements alone. But, you know, he would take hits over the middle. I mean, he had some great catches, especially with the Niners in some of these playoff games. You know, of course, he played on a broken freaking leg in the Super Bowl with the Eagles. And then, of course, I loved him with the Cowboys. One of the most devastating days for me as a Cowboys fan is when we released him. I was so pissed. I will never forget. I woke up in the morning, I turned on ESPN, and it said, breaking news, the Cowboys have released Terrell Owens, and I was pissed because I love T.O. I fucking loved T.O. Career numbers for T.O., 15,934 yards and 153 touchdowns. Five-time first-team All-Pro from 2000 to 2002, 2004, and 2007. He led the league in receiving yards in 2001, 2002, and 2006. And like I said, he played the Super Bowl for the Eagles on basically a broken leg. He broke his leg I think a month before the Super Bowl. And then just worked his ass off to just get healthy enough to play. And he actually, if the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl, he would have been MVP because he actually had the best performance on the field. It's just the Patriots got the win. But I love T.O. I don't think a lot of people even consider him to be one of the greats just because they think he was a poor teammate. But for me, I don't really give a shit about that. I think he was an excellent football player on the field. I loved him. And like I said, devastating day for me when the Cowboys released him. Still to this day, I am fucking pissed off at the Cowboys for releasing T.O. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Randy Moss, wide receiver of the Minnesota Vikings from 1998 to 2004, Oakland Raiders from 2005 to 2006, New England Patriots from 2007 to 2010, back to Minnesota in 2010, then traded to the Titans in 2010, and then ended his career with the Niners in 2012. What I find amusing about Randy Moss is he basically was like T.O. They both were excellent wide receivers. Randy Moss was more of the guy who's going to just outrun everybody on the field, whereas T.O. was an excellent route runner and really was going to be stronger and better than everybody on the field. But Randy Moss had the exact same type of issues off of the field and was kind of a nuisance to certain locker rooms. Now, I think he rehabbed his image when he went to New England, and so that's why I think a lot of people don't put him in the same category as him. But Randy Moss, basically, personality-wise, same dude as T.O. But they both were excellent on the field. Like I said, the only reason why I put Randy Moss above Terrell Owens is because Randy Moss owns NFL records. A couple of the NFL records he owns, most receiving touchdowns in a season, 23, and then most touchdowns in a season by a rookie, 17. So those were the stats that put him above T.O. to me. But his career numbers, 15,292. T.O. has 15,934. So, like, they're right in the same wheelhouse there. Then touchdowns, Randy Moss has 156 career touchdowns. T.O. has 153 career touchdowns. Right there. There's more statistics that are exactly identical. Randy Moss, Rookie of the Year in 98, four-time first-team All-Pro. He was first-team All-Pro in 98, 2000, 2003, and 2007. And then he led the league in receiving touchdowns in 98, 2000, 2003, 2007, 2009. I mean, that's what Randy Moss did. Not only was Randy Moss going to outrun you, but the dude just scored touchdowns. He and Tom Brady were just such a beautiful duo together. I mean, Randy Moss was great with anybody at quarterback. He would have been fantastic with me at quarterback. I mean, when he had Dante Culpepper, he was great. I think he had Cunningham for a bit. I could be wrong, but I think he had Cunningham at the very tail end of his career. He might have played with Warren Moon as well, but you know, with Culpepper and Tom Brady, he had some great days with those two at quarterback. But Randy Moss, he had a fantastic career as well. Like I said, you really could interchange him and T.O. They had their differences. Like I said, T.O. was more of an amazing route runner, where Randy Moss was just going to blow right by you and everybody and then score touchdowns. But they were both amazing wide receivers, and they were definitely the two wide receivers that dominated this era of football. Then at number four in my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Ray Lewis, linebacker of the Baltimore Ravens from 1996 to 2012. So he also spent his entire career with one team, just like the other linebackers I mentioned. His career stats, 41.5 sacks, 67 passes deflected, 31 interceptions, 17 forced fumbles, and 20 fumble returns. But Ray Lewis also was one of those dudes who wasn't felt by just sacking the quarterback or making tackles or whatever. He was the leader. He was the heartbeat of this team. And I mean, when you watch Ray Lewis play, he motivated me through the fucking TV. So I can't even imagine what it was like playing with the dude. He did win two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 35 and Super Bowl 47. He was the MVP of 35, Defensive Player of the Year in 2000 and 2003, seven-time first-team All-Pro, 99 through 2000, 2003, 2004, 2008, and 2009. Career tackles, 90, he led the league in tackles in 97, 99, and 2000. And then he also owned some NFL records, for tackles, combined tackles in a seat for a career 2059, career solo tackles, 1,568, and then, the most tackles in one season, 156. So obviously if you were going to go near Ray Lewis, you better be on alert, because the dude is probably going to tackle your ass. But Ray Lewis just was that dude. I loved Ray Lewis. He is one of my favorite football players of all time. It was hard to not even put him at number one. But once I get to these top three, you're just going to be like, well, duh, who could put anybody above these three? So let's see who the top three are, beginning with number three on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, LaDainian Tomlinson, running back of the San Diego Chargers from 2001 to 2009, and then the New York Jets in 2010 to 2011. And I mean, no running back dominated the league like LaDainian did. He was so great through the air. He was so great on the ground. He was so difficult to tackle. He also scored nothing but touchdowns, just like Randy Moss. His career numbers, 13,684 rushing yards, 145 rushing touchdowns, 4,772 receiving yards, and 17 receiving touchdowns. He owns NFL record for the most touchdowns in one season with 28. Most touchdowns from scrimmage in a season with 31, and most consecutive games with a touchdown with 18 consecutive games in the touchdown. And those records still stand today. He also has the most points in a season with 186, which is also an NFL record. He was MVP in 2006, Offensive Player of the Year in 2006, and three-time first-team All-Pro in 2004, 2006, and 2007, and just an all-around dominating force. He just was so good to watch. And I mean, really, he was the heartbeat of that team. And I just loved LaDainian. He was just so great. And there really hasn't been a running back really as diverse as him. Because like I said, he could go run right up the middle. He could run on the outside. He could pass the ball. He could catch the ball. He could run for days. I mean, he was just such an all-around great running back throughout his entire career. The only times he slumped was when he was injured, and that's the case for everybody who plays sports. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, Peyton Manning, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts from 1998 to 2011, and then with the Denver Broncos from 2012 to 2015. He won a Super Bowl in 41 and Super Bowl 50, so he won one with the Colts and won one with the Broncos. He was Super Bowl MVP of Super Bowl 41. His career numbers, 71,940 passing yards and 539 passing touchdowns. Some of the records he owns, most touchdowns in a season, 55. Most passing yards in a season, 5,477. And most touchdowns in a game with 7 touchdowns in a game. He is a 5-time NFL MVP in 2003, 2004, 2008, 2009, and 2013. Offensive Player of the Year in 2004 and 2013. 7-time first-team All-Pro from 2003 to 2005, 2008, 2009, 2012, and 2013. Honestly, if you watched Peyton Manning's career, obviously, this dude just dominated from day one. He was so unstoppable. There were so many comebacks he had. It was like, even if the Colts or the Broncos were down by like 28 points, you could not count out a Peyton Manning team unless the clock hit zero, because that dude could just score points like it was no tomorrow. Even if they were down, he would just score and score and score. And when he went to the Broncos, the best year of his career was, I can't remember what year exactly it was, but the year he threw the 55 touchdowns, that was with the Denver Broncos. That was one of the greatest years he had, and basically we all had written him off because of the injuries, because, you know, the Colts released him. Yeah, he's just going to go have his last hurrah in Denver, ends up winning the Super Bowl. Now, when they won the Super Bowl, it was actually Peyton's worst career, a very, very tough year to watch, in my personal opinion, but because he just struggled so hard that year. The year he threw 55 touchdowns, like, he was just tearing everybody up. And that's just what Peyton did. That's what he did his entire career. And he really just dominated. The only reason why he's not number one is because he just fell short so many times in the postseason, especially in this this beginning 2000s era. So who's number one in my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era? Who the fuck else is number one besides Tom goddamn Brady? Quarterback of the New England Patriots from 2000 to 2019, and then Tampa Bay Buccaneers from 2020 to 2022. 7-time Super Bowl champion, 36, 38, 39, 44, 51, 53, and 55. 5-time Super Bowl MVP, not even going to name off which 5 he was a Super Bowl MVP of, because here's the thing when it comes to Tom Brady, I've already rattled off his accolades on about 25 different shows, so I'm not going to rattle off every single thing about Tom Brady. I mean, really, we all know the dude is the GOAT. If you don't know he's the GOAT, you are just hating and you just are stupid. You just don't know. But he's also a 3-time league MVP in 2007, 2010, and 2017. Offensive Player of the Year in 2007 and 2010. 3-time first-team All-Pro in 2007, 2010, and 2017. Career numbers, 89,214 yards and 649 touchdowns. And also, those yards, that right there also put him above Peyton to me, because obviously, the reason why I put him above Peyton Manning is he owned Peyton Manning in the postseason. They played head-to-head. So we know, we saw this song and dance, and I'm sorry, y'all. The Patriots won every time. Hate it or love it, cry, bitch, make up all the fucking lies you want about cheating and yada, yada, yada. They still fucking won. And here's some numbers that I looked at, and I was like, well, that's also putting Brady above him. Now, I know Brady's career lasted slightly longer than Peyton's, but still, at the rate that Peyton was throwing the football at the beginning of his career compared to Tom, it's crazy that Tom's numbers are so much more elevated than Peyton's. But like I said, Peyton's career passing yards, 71,940. Tom Brady's, 89,214. That is a huge gap right there. And then career touchdowns, Peyton Manning, 539, Tom Brady, 649. Once again, huge gap there. So I'm sorry, y'all. You can hate it or love it. Tom Brady is the GOAT, and he was absolutely the GOAT of this era. I mean, he started it. He won his first Super Bowl in 2001 and then went on to win like 95 other Super Bowls after that. So I'm sorry, y'all. Tom Brady is the GOAT, not only of just history, but also the GOAT of the 2000s era, for sure. So, my top 10 NFL GOATs of the 2000s era, number 10, Alan Faneca, number 9, Julius Peppers, number 8, Brian Urlacher, number 7, Derek Brooks, number 6, Terrell Owens, number 5, Randy Moss, number 4, Ray Lewis, number 3, LaDainian Tomlinson, number 2, Peyton Manning, and number 1, Tom Brady. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.